Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. I'm maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of...
like a service or
like
something.
A monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got a $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
That's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What? And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/all of my issues.
Yes.
All right, well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa, you are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah,
you had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 34, we talk about some of the season finales from some of our favorite shows. Also, there is a brief Alien Covenant review that I give at the end. Unfortunately, what happened during this episode is we had some minor technical difficulties, so Sam gets cut off towards the end because he was actually recording remotely with us. He got cut off due to these technical issues and right in the middle of a rant about Maggie Gyllenhaal. Can you imagine that? But unfortunately, he's cut off. But right after that, we pretty much had the podcast pretty much finished. The only thing that was missing was my discussion about Alien Covenant. I added that by myself at the end of the podcast. So, all right. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello, I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, and today we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. First off, I guess we'll talk about some trailers, and then we're going to talk about the season finale of Flash, and we're going to get everybody up to date with American Gods.
Yeah.
And maybe talk a little bit about Aliens Covenant. So, I guess we'll start with trailers?
Sure.
All right, Spider-Man trailer. What? That looks so good to me. I don't know. Every trailer they keep releasing of this movie is just raising the bar higher and higher for me. I think right now my expectations are a little bit unreasonable, probably. But it looks really good.
My only worry is that they might have shown too much.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying because it does seem like we get a pretty good idea of what the plot of the movie is going to be.
Sure.
You know, and some of that might have.
Even the themes of, you know, the suit versus the man. And
yeah,
it seems to be doing a lot of things like that. So I don't know. But I was actually the international trailer showed a lot more Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And showed some of his motives. And I was pretty into that one.
I was too. And I think it showing his motives, it's just makes me want to, everything seems so plausible. It just seems for that universe that they've created with that Spider-Man, it just seems perfect. I don't know. Hopefully it really turns out to be that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like I said, expectations really high on this one now. We got the trailer for the movie Valerian. What is it? A City of 1,000 Planets or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's based off of what, a British graphic novel?
French, I think.
French?
Or Belgian.
Belgium?
I don't know.
The European.
European.
Non-American.
Yeah.
It looks really good, though. I mean,
yeah.
From seeing, and it has.
Well, that's the thing is that I know, I don't know the source material, and apparently the source material is expansive. Like, there's, I mean, not, if I'm not mistaken, this is a loose translation of the sixth or seventh graphic novel. And I don't know, there's a bunch. So not knowing the source material, I just know that it looks really pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that one of the creators worked with the director. I don't know how you say his name. Luc Besson, I would assume. Yeah.
Besson.
Besson. I know that he worked with him to help create the world of the Fifth Element.
Yeah, which is, that's another beautiful looking movie too. Yeah, it's, So
it looks better than Jupiter Ascending. So
I hope it's better than Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
And I hope it's better than Lucy.
Yeah. Lucy was okay. Okay, though, right? That's the, is it which one's that?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, was that the
build on a faulty premise that we only use 10% of our brains?
Yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah, okay. I guess that wasn't very.
That's what bothered. If they would not have kept saying that, if they would have just said,
Well, and throughout the movie, they
kept bringing it up.
up on the screen.
Yeah,
10% 13% or whatever. It keeps going up a few percentage points, and
yeah. Had it not done that, then maybe I would have been more forgiving.
Yeah.
That and she ascends to her higher level and becomes a jump drive or something.
But then in turn she becomes her. So, and then her and Joaquin Phoenix have a relationship. So.
Oh yeah, good. Fair enough. Yeah. That was a decent movie.
That it was actually.
I don't know what to think about that movie. Do you see her?
No.
You know which movie we're talking about?
No,
I can tell by the look on your face.
Yeah, I'm like her. I'm like, I don't know what movie you're talking about.
I don't know.
I'm gonna wear. Is this a,
she was in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, right?
Yeah, that's her.
It's got
ScarJo in it.
Well, she's just the voice of like a stylized version of Siri, kind of.
Really?
With Joaquin Phoenix as you know, it takes place in the future. And he gradually falls in love with the artificial intelligence that speaks to him every day.
Yeah, because he's a tester.
What was it? Spike Jones did that? I think.
I think so.
Is this like a full-blown movie or is it just like a...
It's full-blown.
Is it really? Man, how did I not know about this
I have
movie?
No idea.
That is completely...
It came out like a year or two ago.
Really?
Really?
Man, that is completely crazy.
But we can't even tell you. Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say the acting is really good in it, and it's a charming little movie that builds to like full sci-fi proportions, kind of.
Huh. Right. Yeah, he's right. And
95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? Man, that's pretty good.
Nominated for. It won the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay.
That's funny because there's another movie that someone just told me recently about that also has Machina? What's that?
Ex Machina?
No, but it also has Scarlett Johansson in it. Let me look it up real quick. But she basically plays a serial killer. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where she picks up people and kills them.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know about this movie either.
I don't remember what it's called.
I'm looking right now. Under the Skin.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, her and Under the Skin came out the same year.
2013?
Yeah.
I was totally off by a year or two ago.
That's still, though. I mean, it's relatively recent. Yeah. You know, that picture of Joaquin Phoenix, that looks familiar, though, to me. With that mustache. Mustachioed Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. He's a good actor.
He is.
It's a little weird.
So yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of his weird is
acting.
Public persona.
Yeah. So
but I did like Walk the Line, so.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I liked Walk the Line. I liked, obviously, Gladiator.
Yeah, yeah. Are you not entertained?
Yeah. I can't think of anything. Oh, Signs. Signs is another
Signs is he's good in that. What's that movie with him and Nicolas Cage with the one that kind of just makes you feel dirty watching a movie? What the heck is the name of that movie?
Makes you feel dirty watching it.
Yeah, because it's all about like...
Eight Millimeter.
There you go, 8 Millimeter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that movie.
Yeah, he's in that.
I was like, what Nicolas Cage movie made me feel dirty? Like, oh, yeah, 8 Millimeter.
Yeah. Not The Wicker Man, 8 Millimeter.
Bees! I haven't watched 8 Millimeter since I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah, I remember enjoying it, though, like, but kind of, you know, being like, it's a little like, you know.
That was back when I was, my expectations were not like metered out over things. And because I liked Seven so much and knew it was the same screenwriter.
Oh.
Okay. I had my hopes and just way too high.
Oh, yeah.
And that was back when I really liked Nicolas Cage unironically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was just... It wasn't David Fincher, and
I can see why. I didn't realize it was the same screenwriter, but I can totally see why it would be the same screenwriter, because it's got the same kind of feel to it, you know. But we've talked about that Port of New Orleans.
Yeah, we did.
That okay, briefly, okay. Yeah, about how that movie's awesome as far as Nicolas Cage goes. Yeah, that's a good movie. But
we went from Valerian.
I was just trying to figure out where are we at here. Okay.
How did we get
from?
Oh, because I mentioned Lucy.
Lucy. Oh yeah,
and then because that was his last movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we went to Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then that led us to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
And then
all roads lead to Nicolas Cage.
Exactly. It's not even 6 degrees of separation. It's more like 3.
Yeah.
Because even if we talk about Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Marvel, Ghost Rider, Nicolas Cage.
Right. Well, honestly, I don't know that you can think of a topic that I can't link to Nicolas Cage.
All right. Let's go. The other thing we were going to talk about was that Star Wars thing that was in
Star Wars, directed by George Lucas, best friends with Francis Ford Coppola, the uncle of Nicolas Cage.
Oh, look at that. We are able to bring Nicolas Cage and everything. What was it?
Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair. Thank you.
Did an official like preview for The Last Jedi with interviews of the cast and just right after Carrie Fisher had died is, I believe, when they got access to. So everyone was kind of, the loss was being felt across the way. But one of the most interesting things I thought from that article was Mark Hamill, when they were talking to him. I don't know
I think I know where you're going to go with this, but yeah, go.
Where he's told the director, I fundamentally disagree with everything you're doing with this character, but it's my job to give you the best performance that I can.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that kind of concerns me because Mark Hamill is one of us.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it's just in regards to the fact of Luke like hiding and Luke wanting the Jedi to end. And I'm hoping that that's the fundamental disagreement, not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Luke decides to date Rey or something.
Ooh. But maybe, that'd be pretty weird.
Well, we don't know. We don't know how weird that level of weird is going to be.
I mean, when you look at Anakin and Padme, I mean, that's kind of weird too, but this is, I don't know.
Are you an angel?
Yeah. Oh, worst dialogue ever.
He just got creepier as he got older. It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't even, you know, we could probably go on forever, but I just don't even understand the decision. Why would you even, okay, you have the weird sister-brother relationship in the original trilogy. Like, did he feel the need to have some other weirdness in, like, the prequels, you know?
Well, I think if George Lucas has learned nothing else, that the best way to woo women is to wipe out an entire village.
this is true.
Of poor people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And not just the men.
No.
The women and the children, too.
And
the younglings. And the younglings.
And the younglings.
Yeah. Just, yeah. I guess, like I said, I guess we could probably go on on our Star Wars rant for a while here, but maybe we should lumber forward. Yeah. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones trailer's out. Season 7.
Oh my God. So much happens in that trailer.
The war is coming.
The war is coming. And it looks awesome.
Even so was I when I saw that trailer. Wait.
Whoa. So much is in the trailer, but it doesn't seem to give anything away, too. That's what's kind of...
Sam, you're a big Game of Thrones fan. Are you ready?
Oh, you know what? My house has been biting at the bit for Game of Thrones. My wife is basically... is upset that she has nothing to watch, and she usually has a certain things that she watches, and Game of Thrones is one of those things that she's supposed to be watching right now, but she has to wait another month for Game of Thrones. So yeah, she's ready for it to come on.
I'm a little go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, she's like, I have a set thing and Game of Thrones is supposed to be on, and they're messing everything up. So
I'm a little disturbed, though.
Oh.
7 episodes this season, right?
Yeah.
6 episodes next season. There's only 13 hours left.
Wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. But yeah, when you break it down like that, there's 13, like how, wow, there seems to be
there's a lot of story.
Yeah.
And they're refusing to expand it out. So that makes me feel like every episode is going to be just chock full of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just going to be like, my heart can't take it.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it when you break it down to 13 hours. That's pretty.
That's a lot.
Well,
I mean, a lot, but I'm just saying that's a short amount of time for trying to accomplish a lot of things.
Yeah. And especially then, with how much stuff is going on.
Of course, if you think about this, if I were to say to you, oh my gosh, this movie's coming out and it's 13 hours long.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And well, I know you like the first one.
Yeah.
That was like, what, 60 hours long.
Yeah.
But the next one's only 13.
Yeah. When we think about all the Star Wars movies that have been out so far, what we got, 14 hours?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah.
So how we average.
So
a little over 2 hours.
Yeah. So I guess, we got like a Star Wars length of Game of Thrones left, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there's lots of time to tell the story. Never mind. They talk me down from the ledge.
They seem to be pretty good at their storytelling. So, Preacher's getting ready to come out.
Preacher. Yeah. They just released a trailer for season 2. Most exciting thing in watching that was Hairstar showing up.
Oh yeah. Who's playing Hairstar?
I don't know.
Because that's gonna make or break that role, probably.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, they got to get somebody good for that.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you go someone famous or do you go someone amateur?
I would be okay with amateur as long as it was, you know, quality, a quality new face.
Yeah. It doesn't say who it's going to be.
Huh.
At least, that I can find. I'll look it up in the background while we're talking about other things.
Okay. New Mutants.
New Mutants, some new casting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I mean, I'm really bad with names. So the the photographer brother, older brother.
Oh yeah, from Stranger Things.
From Stranger Things is going to be Cannonball.
That seems like a pretty good cast to me. That's a casting. Yeah. Good choice there.
And one of the guys from Teen Wolf and also 13 Reasons Why is going to be Sunspot. I forget his name as well. So, boy, is this informative or what?
Aren't you glad you tuned in? Such an so yeah, this show.
This one dude is going to be that dude.
Yeah, they got actors in this show.
Yes, Henry Zaga of Teen Wolf and 13 Reasons Why will be.
Oh, let me see.
Playing Roberto da Costa,
and Henry Zaga. And we knew about Ilyana Rasputin, right?
We knew that. We talked about that before.
Anya Taylor.
So that's four. Who else we need? We need some.
Yeah, Sam Guthrie is the Charlie Adler, Heaton.
Charlie Adler is the artist on Walking Dead. What's wrong with me?
Rosario Dawson. Rosario Dawson. There you go.
Yeah.
Let me start that over. Cecilia Reyes.
Yeah.
Is that a character that we know?
Who I believe is? That's.
Is that.
Oh, no, maybe not.
No, I was. Yeah, I'm not sure who that is. Do you have any idea there, Sam? Cecilia Reyes?
Perhaps the mother of Ernie?
Ernie Reyes?
From Sidekicks? Wow. No? Anyone? Anyone know Ernie Reyes?
All right.
He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Anyone?
Grasping the straws here, people.
Does nobody remember Sidekicks?
I do remember Sidekicks, yeah.
He was a kid.
Yeah, the kid. I didn't realize it was his name.
Oh.
That was a pretty cool show.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I know who Cecilia Reyes is now. I do.
Oh, okay.
She was a doctor. She debuted in like the 2000s in X-Men. She was a doctor who found out that she was a mutant, and I'm trying to remember what her mutant power was.
Oh, okay.
I have the book. I remember her first. I remember her first appearance. I have her, but I keep trying to remember. Let me look it up. What her power was? I thought she had something to do with like she could punch really hard or something like that. She was like.
like a kick puncher.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to remember who she was.
That's like my favorite thing on Community was that whole series of movies called Kick Puncher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved everything about Community.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So it was so good.
Was her mutant power, let's see, because she debuted...
Well, I don't know. You guys want to just move on to the next topics, or we can maybe go back to that?
Yeah.
She's bioplasmic biofield. Basically, she's durable. Like, things bounce off of her and stuff. She's kind of
like Speedball.
Well, it's something like that. Yeah, she could just when she hit things, it breaks. So she could survive a lot of stuff. Not as strong as Cannonball's when he's actually going, but she's pretty durable.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. Well, we've all seen the season finale of Flash, right? I think so.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. All right, what do you guys think so far?
I'm trying to understand before Savitar was stuck in the Speed Force, who was in the Speed Force before him? Because apparently someone has to be in the Speed Force, be trapped in the Speed Force in order to balance for the Speed Force.
I don't know. I don't know if that's something that was created by Flashpoint.
Yeah, I don't think that's clear. I don't know.
I don't know that there clearly if there was someone.
Yeah.
Prior to Flashpoint, holding things together.
Yeah, it seems like they just kind of created that. For the
Yeah, all right. It's time to talk.
Yeah.
Our special issues.
There we go. Oh, here we go.
This pissed me off. the whole thing. Yeah, they build up Savitar. They build him up. And then, you know, at some point, I was all right with him, Barry Allen, being, you know, we talked about that briefly. Yeah, I'm the future Flash.
Yeah. Chris called it actually on the podcast.
And then they kill Iris. And I right away went, I said to my wife and my son, that wasn't Iris. It was probably HR because they conveniently showed you the face changing technology earlier in the episode.
Yeah, I
caught that.
Right.
It's like one of those episodes of Star Trek where they invent something early on in the beginning of the episode that they
just happen to need later on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a James Bond movie where they show off a bunch of devices that are only used once. Yeah. And in that movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, here's a pen that is specifically made to cut through hemp rope if you're ever tied up. And sure enough, you're tied up by hemp rope.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, to be fair, I mean, they did show it in the episode beforehand when they tried to sneak into Argus to get
but they showed it like once or twice at the beginning of the season and then went 14 episodes without showing it and then show it again. Right. So it becomes a thing of, you know, what's that? Someone's gun.
A MacGuffin.
Not the MacGuffin. Oh gosh. Not Pavlov. Someone's gun. Who is it? He was a anyway. If you show a gun in the first scene, someone's got to use the gun later on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That rule.
Yeah.
So they showed earlier in the episode, so it's fresh in your mind, really, that was the actual episode they showed that because at that point it was that was when he took over for Iris.
Yeah,
she got stabbed at the end of that episode. It wasn't till a week later that you found out. So anyway, whatever. You have a perfect chance for whatever's happening to happen rather than have Iris shoot the Flash in the back of the head. What, the Flash isn't faster than a speeding bullet now? Whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to walk gingerly in Flash speed over to kill Barry Allen from behind. No, he's going to take him out full speed. Regardless, whatever. She kills him. Rather than that, don't you think it would have made more sense to, you know, for the Flash event to start happening and then realizing that they need someone in there and future Flash has his moment of, you've tried everything to try to save me and I'm willing to go back and take this for the team, and you have some sort of character development for the throwaway Flash? Rather than the Speed Force to come out like Barry's mom and...
Yeah, we're to assume that some part of Barry Allen that we know and love is still in the future Flash. I mean, they hinted at.
Though I can think of a much better ending.
Yeah.
Them saying we need someone inside the Speed Force, and Barry's mom comes out, and Barry starts walking towards it like he's already, and they're like, "No, I'm here for Joe."
yeah, there you go.
I think
though, like your character development of the future Flash, you know, basically,
yeah,
taking it for the team, if you will,
yeah,
that would have been a much better ending,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because they tried to give him a chance and he he still wanted to be a god. So he
still they tried to give him a chance, and he's like, none of this is going to work, so I might as well go about my business.
Yeah,
I might as well go full.
You guys evil. Don't have any good ideas, so I'm just going to keep on the evil train.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just seemed.
But just even with all the events that happened throughout the whole thing, that whole. The ending of that season with it having to be like, oh, we have to put somebody in the Speed Force. It just seemed so out of left field, too, that they suddenly throw that in to, you know, because I mean, with everything else that happened throughout the season. OK, the H.R. Wells thing. OK, whatever, you know, but the other stuff that happens, it's OK. It's pretty interesting story. Good stuff. It was a good season overall, I think. But the way to end it like that, I didn't like that ending.
It was a decent season, but I don't like the ending. I don't like what it's setting up, and I don't think it's going to have any lasting repercussions because I don't think they're going to go a season without
Barry Allen. Yeah,
they'll do like two episodes. I mean, for crying out loud, they did Flashpoint in two episodes. I'm pretty sure that they're going to.
Yeah.
If they were smart, I think that they should go at least. I would go full season.
Without Barry Allen
and introduce Impulse.
Ah.
Who's more tied to Wally West than Barry Allen. I'm sorry, Sam, go ahead.
No, because you guys just jumped right into Impulse. It's like you're not going to even give Wally a chance to have one full season. I mean, if they really kind of want to do it right, have Wally do one full season as the Flash. And then next season, Barry comes back and they're like, hey, where you been? Oh, I was in another dimension, which was Justice League.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm going to tell you though, I'm not as invested in Wally. Not for any good reason, other than the fact that I just didn't like the way that they did Wally at the beginning. So I'm not as invested as him as I am Barry Allen. And to be honest, I've been kind of waiting for Impulse all along anyway.
Because I grew up with Wally, so I do kind of agree with you the way they brought Wally in.
Yeah.
In the series, it's kind of like, really?
Yeah. I didn't like the fact he was. It was whiny West, not Wally West. It was, I want powers too, and all you have powers. Why can't I run fast?
Right.
That bothered me.
It's kind of.
And any time that he was involved in the storyline, it seemed like he was always kind of like the guy that, you know, he just couldn't quite make it as the best speedster. Like there was always
the speedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the speedy. They treated him like Speedy in the comics.
Right. Yeah, he was the guy who, well, I mean, let's face it, on the show, he's the guy who's not quite good enough to be the guy.
Yeah. And that's how they portrayed him.
Because he didn't get his full power from Savitar.
Yeah.
So, I want...
Go ahead.
I want more. I don't know. I'm angry. I'm angry at this ending.
Maybe that's what brings... the next season that Wally has to stop whining and be the Flash. Maybe that's the whole, and then because he still got to, you know, establish a relationship with the Rogues and all that stuff. So maybe this is that point where he doesn't have Barry to guide him to with the training wheels. He's basically the only speedster. I mean, I don't know if Jessie Quick is still in that universe, but I mean,
I don't know. Why didn't she show up and take place in the Speed Force?
Yeah. Because what I was even thinking too, like, was like, even okay, at the end of that season, like he could have like essentially cloned himself again, right? And one of those clones could have went into the Speed Force. Really? I mean,
realistically, yes. But then that'd just probably be creating Savitar
again. Yeah.
Slightly different.
Slightly different.
You know what though? Here's an idea. Maybe this is the next season is the season where they introduce Max Mercury, because he is, you know, known for the Zen for the Speed Force, and maybe he helps Wally get Barry out of the Speed Force.
That could be. Because even if they do have like It seems like, because like even if they do have Barry Allen like kind of locked up in the Speed Force for like a good part of the season, that they'd want to have another speedster anyways. Don't you think? I mean,
yeah,
it seems like they would.
I'm going to tell you what I feel like is probably going to happen. Because
in one episode, it's going to be resolved next season.
It's going to it's going to take three episodes, and they're going to write it in such a way that Wally has messed everything up so much that the only way the Speed Force can possibly survive is to send Barry Allen back. And that's going to make me angry. Because yeah. So far, I just feel that they've mistreated the character. What's that?
Right. I'm agreeing with you. I got if they do that, I'm going to be very upset. Because first, they're messing up Wally West as, you know, in from the comics. And then, yo, Wally's got to be your brother. So what? The brother can't do the job? That's where I'm going to be looking at it. At both sides. It's like, seriously? Oh, well, we put it in the hands of this brother here, but apparently it's like, yo, what the heck? You guys gave him crap, and you guys wanted him to make a masterpiece out of crap. So that's how am I going to look at it? Because I hope that does not happen.
I hope just not. Saying. I just worry. I just maybe I should have faith. And you know, a season ago I would have had faith.
Yeah.
But they wrapped up Flashpoint so quickly, so Jesse quick. and then started the Savitar thing, but I don't know. I'm pissed off.
I don't care. Yeah, it seems like such a, you know, dare I say, like a cheap ending for a season finale. Like, just
there was no the sacrifice feels like it's a temporary sacrifice.
Yeah.
And so right. It wasn't like Crisis where he runs himself to death trying to save the world.
Where it was like a real sacrifice.
Where it was a real sacrifice. Yeah. This is, I'm just going to go spend some time with my dead mom.
Yeah.
You guys will be okay without me. Whatever.
Yeah.
Stupid. I'm sorry, I've become that guy complaining about everything on the internet. I can't enjoy the 23 episodes that I thought were pretty okay. But
no, I mean, I'm not going to say I hated it, but I was very disappointed when the ending of this episode ended that way. I was just like, I'm like, really? You couldn't have done something different?
I didn't have any. There were no man tears to be shed for that ending. And I think they were trying to give us man tears by showing him say goodbye to everybody. I half expected like him to walk up and be like to a scarecrow and be like, I'll miss you the most.
Yeah. Well, the thing that just kind of got me too is like they just went through all that big, you know, the whole season long story arc. We got to save Iris. We got to do everything we can to save Iris. It's almost like they didn't put any effort at all towards trying to save Barry Allen. It's just like, oh, this is what I got to do. I have to sacrifice myself. Okay, let me go in there. And then that's it. And that was, you know, the end of it, I guess. I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know.
Right. It's kind of like the future was already like, dude, you know what's going to happen, but yet you're still going to fail and end up as this future Flash. It's like,
well,
let's change your mindset.
Let's talk some logic here.
Go ahead.
Flashpoint. Wow, he went back and changed one thing. Look at all.
Yeah.
There's so much bad things. So I'll go back and try to set it right, stop myself. Everything will be back to normal. Oh, it's not quite back to normal. We got Eobard traveling back 30 years and completely changing timelines.
Yeah.
More than 30 years.
Well, and not only that, but then he went and got, he went back to go get Captain Cold. And, that was like no thing.
No big deal.
Okay. All right.
And the headline to the paper is from 2020 something, and it says Flash disappears after a crisis. So you know he's only going to be gone in most 10 years.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't even think that long. I think it was 7 years.
yeah.
And he's married to Iris at that point.
Yeah.
Unless writers said, "Hey,
I don't know. Other than that, though, I like the season. I don't know. I really expected the guy from Harry Potter to become more of a villain in the season.
Yeah, I'm okay with him hanging around.
Yeah, I am too. I'm kind of glad that it went that route because that would have been more predictable if he did end up being a villain.
I'm glad HR didn't end up being Savitar.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
But what do we think we're going to get from the next Wells?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah.
I hope Earth 2 Wells just comes back.
Wells.
A female Wells.
I don't know if Dom Kavanaugh can pull off female.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a pretty gifted actor, though. If there's an actor on that show that could do that, it would probably be Tom Kavanaugh.
Well, you got Wells from Earth 2, and then another Wells would be the female, but they'll have the same kind of mannerisms. It'll be a little change of pace.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
A little change of pace.
Maybe
he'll have symbols or something like that. Or triangle. She'll have a triangle. She comes through a triangle.
Maybe
instead of being addicted to caffeine, maybe he's like addicted to opium or something. Like a full-on meth problem.
Crack.
Maybe it'd be a whole new season. I'd love to
see Crackhead Wells.
Wouldn't that be great? Maybe that would be the whole problem with the season that they have to resolve.
Yeah.
How do we get Wells off the crack?
Wells off the crack? And it becomes just like an after-school special type deal.
Yeah.
No superpowers at all. It's just
Flash has to go back in time before he starts doing crack.
24 hours of rehab.
Yeah.
That's it.
I hope somebody's listening to that because I'd like to see that.
I would like to see drug addicted non superheroes being the focus of my favorite superhero television show.
Exactly. that's great.
On a very special season of The Flash, it'd be like Tom Hanks in Family Ties.
Yeah. It'd be like, we know there's a big meth problem going on in the country.
Yeah.
We want to address it here.
Yeah.
On Flash. So, I don't know. Have we said enough about Flash? Should we move on?
We should probably move on.
We should move on. All right. American Gods. What do you guys think?
Wow.
Let's hear what Sam has to say.
Wow.
Since Sam doesn't really know the book,
I don't know the I don't know the books.
The source material.
I like Shadow and I like Mr. Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Mrs. Moon, what's her first name?
Laura?
His wife's first name?
Yeah, Laura. Wife. Yeah, I think that's right.
Laura Moon?
Yeah.
Laura Moon. Yeah. She.
Hey, puppy.
Is creepy.
Yeah.
You don't like undead wives?
You know what? It's like when I first. When it was going through her story, was it four or something like that? They were going through her story. Shadow and everything. I was kind of like when it was like Shadow was being more like, hey, I want to be on the straight and narrow. And she was just like so standoffish. And so when she died, it was just kind of like.
It kind of looked like they were hinting at that she had some problems. Worse,
but I did. She had some issues.
she had some issues.
I do like the interaction she had with Death. I do like the interaction that she had with Death when she actually died.
Mr. And, Ibis.
I like that exchange. Yeah. Where, you know, like, you're going to be going into the hot tub here in the darkness. And I was like, I kind of like that exchange. The show is growing on me, but I'm kind of leery of Mr. I think it's The World, played by Crispin Glover.
I have a theory on this.
Related to Danny Glover.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Well,
no, I'm pretty sure that's Donald Glover's dad.
Yeah, I think you're right. Or Danny Glover's dad.
Danny Glover's brother.
Danny Glover's brother.
No, I have a theory on Crispin Glover. I don't think that they gave him a script.
Okay.
I think they just sent him into the room and said, Crispin, just talk about whatever's on your mind.
You know what? You're not very far off from that, because I watched the behind the scenes of that episode where they introduced him in. I think it's the last episode. Was it episode four? Five?
I think.
I guess.
Five. I think it's five.
The writers or the creators of the show, they kept thinking of who they should get for Mr. World.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we want somebody like Crispin Glover. And I guess somebody knew how to get a hold of Crispin Glover, invited him to come in. And I guess when he came in and met the creators of the show, he was wearing a derby hat and kind of did this little like hat twirl takeoff thing when he met them. And they were trying to do everything they could do in that episode where they introduce him to duplicate that entrance.
Really?
Yeah. And if you go back and watch it, because I had to after they talked about that. And I think they pretty much, you know, they probably just Crispin Glover and just, you know, and that's, you know, that makes for good, good TV.
Yeah.
So, but I think the casting on the show is amazing.
Oh yeah,
the casting is like the
every single person is just absolute. The leprechaun.
Oh my gosh.
I love him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, so good.
Matt Sweeney.
Yep. Oh man. But yeah, Crispin Glover being Mr. World, Ian McShane being Mr. Wednesday. I could watch Ian McShane do just about anything, I think, but just him being Mr. Wednesday, it's just.
I'm utterly in love with the show, and I tell you what, there's aspects of the book I forgot. I didn't remember her coming back.
Yeah,
from the dead, but it does happen apparently, because they even put a little thing like they're in hotel room 55, which apparently is the page on the in American Gods.
Oh, where
she comes back.
Oh, really? Interesting. See, that's what I couldn't really quite remember either. I knew the first two.
It's been so long since I read it. I don't remember a lot of the plot. I remember a good portion of it.
Yeah. Like the first two episodes seem to be pretty much straight out of the book to me.
Yeah.
At least from what I recall. Peter Stormare's Chernobog.
Yeah.
Awesome, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh.
So good. So yeah, I
felt like you weren't supposed to like her at all. Yeah. She's the wife that died with Dane Cook's penis in her mouth.
Yeah, and of all penises to have in your mouth,
I know, seriously.
Dane Cook is,
it's probably better than kissing his filthy mouth.
That's probably true.
I don't know. I don't actually hate Dane Cook or anything. But,
no.
But regardless.
But it's just fun to make fun
It's fun to make fun of. But I think you're supposed to hate her, but then they gave her the extra depth in that episode. So she's probably the most well-rounded character that you've seen in terms of what they've given of her story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. I hadn't thought of it that way, but
she's clearly dealing with depressive issues.
Yeah.
And then back with a lucky coin.
Yeah.
It is the weirdest show. I bet if you haven't read the book, how weird is this show to you, Sam?
It's not that weird. I think the weird part kind of gets to was basically her. I think I could I watching other sci-fi stuff, I can kind of,
is it Dane Cook?
You know, follow along.
Is that, is that the level of believability? Like, you just refuse to believe that anyone would voluntarily like suck off Dane Cook?
I can believe in leprechauns.
Have I can ever believe in leprechauns. But I refuse to believe for a second.
Well, it's never happening.
Well, he has something. He has something in common with leprechauns. Is the he's Good Luck Chuck? If you ever watch that movie with him,
oh yes,
Alba, you know, anytime. Good Luck
Chuck. Oh, nice pull. Good,
nice pull. That's what he said.
To Shadow's wife. Oh,
Shadow's wife. Maybe this is just an extended a hallucination from Sucker Punch, because she's the star of Sucker Punch.
Oh, is she really? Yeah. I did not know that. That movie looked kind of good, too.
It looked really good.
Yeah, did you watch it?
I tried.
Oh, it's not good?
It was not.
Well, it was not good, really? Uh-huh. That's too bad.
Did you see it, Sam?
It's not good. No.
I watched.
I have seen it, and it
had. Did you watch it in its entirety? Looks,
but it was not good. I watched it in its entirety. It was like a Girl Interrupted meet Tank Girl.
You could sell me on a movie like that, though. The previews looked amazing.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. It was one of those movies where I'm like, I got to go back and watch that.
If you can make all of that boring somehow, yeah. I mean, who was it? Was that Zack Snyder?
I might. Oops. Sounds like it could be.
I don't think so. Let me look. I didn't think it was Zack Snyder.
Was the main character named Martha?
Sucker Punch.
There, I did it.
Been brought up.
Oh, by the way,
it is Zack Snyder. Good pull.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Internet, if you get a chance, listen to our Wonder Woman preview. That's pretty good, Internet. So, speaking of Martha.
The Martha. Yes.
In a world of Marthas, be a Diana.
Yes, please. Be anything but a Martha. But the one person I think we should bring up in American Gods too, that standout performance, I think, for me is
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
As David Bowie,
as Lucille Ball,
as Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, awesome. Like that's
Monroe. The Marilyn Monroe was the creepiest thing.
Yeah,
yeah, floating in there.
Marilyn Monroe was the creepiest thing. It's like, oh, and look at me. I was like, I can't believe Scully's doing that.
I know.
It's, you know, her performance, though, I don't want to say I never thought that Gillian Anderson wasn't a gifted actress. It's just that I don't think I've ever really seen her play that kind of character, that kind of role.
No, I've only ever seen her be in like detectives and investigators and things and psychiatrists.
Yeah, yeah. And her playing those characters, it's
right.
It's so refreshing, and and she's doing it so well too. I think that, you know, to her credit, give her kudos. Yeah,
she's doing really well.
She doesn't age.
No, she doesn't age. Yeah, yeah.
She might look better now than she looked in 92.
That could be.
Or 94, whatever. Yeah. Whenever the X Files premiered.
That's probably 92, 93. It
had to be 92, right?
Yeah, that seems right. Yeah. Let's see if we can dig this up real quick. 93.
So directly in between the two guesses.
When you average it out, you're right.
But I'll go with 92. Price is Right rules in effect.
There.
Year one, Bob.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
But yeah, no, it's amazing how little she's aged.
Yeah. And the Matt Sweeney guy is he's so good.
That's too. He's related to Leif Schreiber, right?
I think so.
I know he was
the last name Schreiber.
I know he was in New Orleans.
Know anything about last names? Yes,
I believe that he's actually Danny Glover's father. So that would make him Donald Glover's grandfather.
Yeah. it's his paternal half brother.
One last thing I wanted to.
Is Liv Schreiber.
One last thing, Sam?
His name's Pablo Schreiber.
Yeah, he looks like a Pablo.
Yeah, one last thing I want.
Oh, you still there? He's got some dead air there for a second. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, you said Pablo. I was like, okay. I was just going to say one last thing about Crispin Glover is he is less creepy than Maggie Gyllenhaal.
What?
Oh, come on now. Well, I don't know that Crispin Glover is ever. I don't think of him as creepy. I just think of him as weird.
Well, yeah. He's had some creepy roles. He has some creepy roles, like in Willard.
In
the Charlie's Angels movies.
Back to the Future. It's pretty creepy enough. He's just not your normal. What was that?
He's not a normal guy.
No, he's not
I would take it. I say he's not a normal guy.
Yeah,
he's definitely not. I mean, remember him practicing his karate on David Letterman? Yeah. And David Letterman like banned him for life.
Yeah. He's like one of those guys that I just wonder, like, what's a typical day for him? What does he do? Like when he gets up in the morning, it's got to be anything that I in my mind, anything he does in any normal given day for him is probably just extremely bizarre.
Yeah.
And I just want to know what happens.
You know, it's strange to bring this up.
It's kind of like.
I'm sorry.
Everybody's speechless.
Sam, I feel that we might be on a second delay or something. I thought about this before, like, you know, in the Osbournes or whatever that was kind of demystified the lifestyle of the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you're dealing with someone like, you know, a Clive Barker or any metal star or Crispin Glover, how much of their public persona is their real them?
Oh, yeah.
And I've always wondered that, like, do these people sit around in like stone castles with like the skulls of you know,
as Marilyn Manson and Hanson
on their walls? Just, you know, at what point, like, it's like seeing Danzig carrying the kitty litter.
It
just kind of sucks you out of all the mystique of Danzig.
Exactly.
You know. You know, she rides apparently to PetSmart or whatever, and I don't know. It's weird to think of people with a certain persona living day to day lives.
Yeah,
but Crispin Glover is the exact opposite of that for me. In that,
I truly believe he
wakes up and drinks the blood of his enemies.
I completely believe that too. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Oh man! So
yeah.
And any show that has Crispin Glover on is
still not as creepy as.
Oh man,
Maggie Gyllenhaal! Why you got this thing with Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, I just don't get it, Sam. I don't get it.
She creeps me out, dude. She just does. It's that mixture of I'm kind of hot, but I will set the bed on fire while you're sleeping in it. Kind of look in her eyes.
All right.
So you think she's kind of hot? She still creeps you out?
Yeah.
So
she's creepy hot? Is that that's the direction we're going in? Is that
Sam just went dim.
Oh, Sam went dim.
Oh, Sam.
We lost you, Sam.
We lost you, Sam.
Oh.
Quick, let's talk about him while he's not here. They'll never know this until the podcast actually airs. I got really nothing bad to say about Sam.
I know Sam is a pretty good guy in general. Let's see,
I mean,
retran connection
here. Other than the eating of children, I can't think of another thing about him that I don't like.
I mean, everybody has one thing.
Everyone has one thing. And his is the child eating. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you got to give him one thing,
I guess.
So,
I mean, I snore.
Exactly.
You know, I've got more than one thing. I snore and sometimes chew loudly. It's all kinds of annoying things I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's two.
That's two. I mean,
you know, got to give Sam one.
Sam and his child eating. I mean, I guess we'll. Am I supposed to talk about this on the internet?
I don't know. I mean, it's he's probably not ever going to hear it.
he probably won't. I mean, but it's, you know, whatever.
Like, yeah. All right. This is Rick back. I'm going to finish off this podcast with just me doing a solo portion of the Alien Covenant review. By now, you probably have maybe heard how it's done in the box office, and unfortunately, it has not done very well. And basically, I think that's unfortunately because it's not that great of a movie. I was personally pretty disappointed in the movie itself. It has, when you look at the surface of it, I guess it has everything that you would want in an alien movie. It has aliens, has guns very similar to the ones that were used in the movie Aliens. There are synthetics, robot, android guys in the movie. Michael Fassbender, specifically. But not only one Michael Fassbender, there's actually two Michael Fassbenders. So you get two Fassbenders for the price of one, I guess. Unfortunately, though, the characters in general in this movie are pretty much forgettable. You don't really care about any of the characters. You don't care about anything that happens to them. So somehow by having all the elements that you would think that you'd want in an alien movie, it still just doesn't pan out. It doesn't pay you back to the way that you would think it would. Personally, I actually enjoyed the movie Prometheus better than Alien Covenant. It just seems like they're not really doing anything new with the Alien franchise. It seems like there's a lot of missed opportunities with the engineers that were, you know, basically revealed in the first new film that Ridley Scott has done, the Prometheus movie. You don't hear too much about them. You don't get any new information about them and Alien Covenant, really. It seems like it's a huge miss opportunity. There's no characters that you really care about. The only character that they really pretty much bring back is David, played by Michael Fassbender. That's pretty much it. And other than that, not too much else really about the movie. We finally do get to see the aliens coming to the evolutionary point to where we're familiar with them now. You know, they look like the alien that we see in the first Alien. The one great thing, I guess, about this film is that the aliens have never looked better. So they do look really good. They jump around, they move around quickly, and as you probably have always imagined that they would move around, but now we get to see it pretty clearly and they look good. Unfortunately, that's pretty much it with this movie. So I gotta say, I was pretty disappointed in it. The pacing of the movie seemed really slow as well. Seems like a lot of the characters in the movie made really dumb mistakes that they shouldn't have made. And in general, that's all I have to say about Alien Covenant. If you're an Alien fan, maybe check it out, because, you know, he'd probably want to see every Alien movie that's been made anyways. But unfortunately, it just doesn't live up to the hype that many of us had placed upon the film. All right. Thanks for listening. Check us out on our website, allofmyissues.com, at Twitter, at All of My Issues, and on Facebook. Look for us under All of My Issues. Thanks for listening.